There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment, The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn.
Amazing stories.
Amazing stories.
That was Steven Spielberg. He developed that series.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant our show. We had amazing stories.
Same true. I'm sorry. I'm just hearkening back to the Dirt Alert update.
Yes. Thank you. I do remember Amazing Stories.
It was a great series.
That was a great series. It was an anthology thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, also, I really would love to see Steven Spielberg do
TV.
Some TV streaming thing, because that allows him all that time, like 8 episodes, to do something.
Yeah. Maybe he could do like a reality show of like what it's like in prison for D-list
Oh my gosh. You're talking about Todd and Julie Chrisley, the stars of Chrisley Knows Best, which was a huge show on TLC. We have them reporting to prison. Why are they going to prison? Just to remind people, they were convicted of bank fraud and tax evasion back in June 2022.
Yeah, and not one count.
No. So they were sentenced to a combined 19 years behind bars because they didn't admit anything.
Yeah, they still claim that, you know, the truth is not what happened in court. Unfortunately, the American judicial system disagreed, they're going to prison today.
There was a lot of hard evidence against them, like documents that were
hard.
It's odd. Okay, so... Todd is going to serve his 12 years at the minimum security federal prison camp in Pensacola. Julie will do a hard 7 at the medium security federal correctional institution, Mariana.
Okay, so that was the OG, right? That's not the MedFed or FedMed,
right? Oh, no,
right?
It's not the FedMed. I thought that, yep.
That was the news today. So you actually were there at the prison to see them arrive, right?
I was.
And Julie didn't show up because they ended up sending her. She got a better setup.
She sure did.
Sounds like, anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Now,
and I didn't know anything about this MedFed, but you were telling me all about it.
Yeah, FedMed.
Sorry.
Actually, now that I read it a little further, it says Federal Correctional Institution in Mariana. So it's not a federal medical center. I thought she was sent to a FedMed.
Are you sure?
Well, that's what Perez is saying. But then in another report, I thought it said federal medical center.
Well, she originally was going to go to like they were both going to like sort of minimum security places. And then at the last minute, she was going to this medical facility that the federal government is in charge of, and it basically meant she was going to like the minimum security part of that. So like this was...
Yeah, you're right. Federal Medical Center in Lexington.
Yeah.
So
you were right.
There are only 2 of those in the country, and one is in my hometown, the FedMed in Springfield, Mo, and like John Gotti was there, and the Birdman from Alcatraz, and a lot of like serious, high-profile people who need medical attention. So she must have some type of a medical condition that allows her not to have to go to another, well, medium security prison.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is, but it could be anything. She could have diabetes or something.
Yeah, and
like
I don't know what her condition is, but I would say, like, I'm not surprised that they're in a low security thing. And, you know, I don't know. The thing that bothers me about this entire experience is that they have not accounted for anything.
No.
They've not taken responsibility for anything. And yet, if you listened to them, and I know you actually have listened to them,
yes,
or at least one of them in the lead up to them going to prison for a long time,
yeah,
it doesn't seem like there's any remorse happening.
They do not admit to anything ever. They just did their last episode the day before they went into prison. Or it was actually recorded on the 11th. So I listened to part of that. It's called Chrisley Confessions.
Which I just love that their podcast is called Confessions.
But they don't confess anything.
To anything.
No. It started off with Todd and you know, just like talking about how great the podcast numbers are for his daughter's YouTube/podcast, Savannah.
Okay, great.
So, and then like just going over numbers, I'm like, you aren't talking about that you're going to prison in a week?
Seem incredibly, like every time I've listened to that podcast, it seems incredibly tone deaf to the world around them. And I'm like, are these people just living in like seven layers of denial? Because it doesn't seem like they have the, I don't know about you, but if I was 5 minutes away from going to prison for the next 12 years, I don't care how low security, I would be a little, like, I'd be talking, and it wouldn't be about, like, my daughter's podcast numbers.
It was all very presentational and, you know, also working in, on his Instagram, there was a gospel singer named Karen Peck, and he put, he is always on time, hashtag fight the good fight. Then the lyrics to that song, the news came to Jesus, please come fast, Lazarus is sick, and without you, help me, will not last. Mary and Martha watched their brother die. They waited for Jesus. What? He did not come, and they wondered why. This was the song. So this is, you know, Todd's journey. He's saying that Jesus is going to always be with him.
Well, you had a nice take on this, courtesy of Perez.
Perez said, was Jesus with you whenever you crimed? You did all those crimes?
You.
Because you're picking and choosing, you know, but then he reminds us, listen, they've never admitted to anything.
Well, that's the thing. It's one thing if you go, you know, Jesus is with us at all times. And, you know, forgiveness is a powerful thing for sure. And we all hopefully appreciate that in our lives, whatever your spirituality or lack thereof. They are not doing that. In fact,
they're appealing.
Yeah, they're appealing, meaning they're not admitting to anything.
And they won't.
And they obviously believe that they have a better chance to either lower or remove their sentence on appeal than to actually just own up and tell
just
the truth.
If they said yes, that we did this, they would have gotten a plea deal and not had to spend 12 and 7 years in prison.
Yeah.
It's just kind of sad. Now, just to give you an idea of what he will deal with, it looks like Todd will be waking up every morning. Prison for Todd is 4:45 a.m. The lights come on.
Oof, that's early.
If he's used to sleeping in at all, I mean, that's like morning show time. I mean, I used to get up at 4. And green pants, green shirts, white socks, and black steel-toed boots is what he will wear. They have a strict daily schedule. And I'm also looking at a blueprint of the prison.
Okay.
And I wanted to mention a few things.
Sure.
Okay. So we do have paint storage, garage and storage, recycling, phone room, billiards, and sunbathing.
Okay, great. They get to tan and have ice cream. Or not ice cream. I'm sorry. Billiards.
Silly.
Sorry. Our next story is ice cream related. It's on my brain.
Yeah.
So he gets to play pool and tan.
And lay out at a pool, maybe. There's a chapel for them. That's good. But I just found that part interesting. There's also a hobby shop.
Look, I think people that are incarcerated,
a library and recreation center,
should have access to things.
Yes.
Right? I just have a hard time with people who can't take responsibility for things in their life. And if a jury of your peers has decided that you are guilty, mm-hmm. and the evidence shows that you are guilty, like these were financial crimes.
Yes.
That there was a paper trail for.
Yes. Paper trail.
I still have not heard any plausible explanation of why the accusations, the charges, and summarily the judgments were false, wrong, or in any way unfounded.
That's correct. That's why they're going to prison.
Yeah, so I just have a hard time thinking like, oh, we're all supposed to feel sorry for them in this moment. I kind of don't, because there are a lot of people who probably do get wrongly accused, and now they're trying to make us think that, you know, they deserve that grace as well.
Which, you know, typically, because I come from the Bible Belt, there are preachers who, you know, get caught having an affair at their church or whatever. This has happened several times in the Bible Belt where I'm from. They will come out and say, I did this, and I am truly so sorry to the entire congregation.
Jimmy Swaggart.
And they say, please, please pray for us. And I am asking the Lord to ask you for forgiveness. Like, there's an admittance of guilt. Yeah. And that's one of the biggest things that you have to do if you claim to be a Christian, you know,
or just a good person,
putting it out there so much that you're a Christian. Yeah. Like, it's like, that's part of their identity and part of their podcast and their whole thing.
Yeah.
It's like, this is not, this is not the path that usually leads to forgiveness.
Well, good luck to them. He's going to be getting up super early. You know what he's not going to be getting? Cold Stone ice cream, unless there is a Cold Stone counter at the federal penitentiary.
At least at hers.
Like there was on the red carpet for the Critics' Choice Awards.
What?
What exactly? We've got to talk about this when we returned on right here on My Talk 107.1.
The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn, My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment. We are so excited about going to award shows. Mm. We're not invited, but we like to peek into the lives of what it's like to be on the red carpet. And then we get this weird story about something that happened on the red carpet.
Yeah, no, I wanted to share this with you the moment I saw Dawn. I was flipping through Instagram, and then I landed on the official Sean Penn account. It's not Sean Penn. It's like one of those celebrity accounts. Anyway, if you don't follow, it's a great follow about all things celebrity hilarity. And this account was none other than a bunch of celebrities in front of a Cold Stone Creamery step and repeat. And it says, critics choose Cold Stone Creamery. There is Andrew Garfield. There is Kate, what's her name? Hudson, and another lady, and Jeremy Allen White, and another lady.
That's the bear.
And Fonzie. So all of these people in front of Cold Stone step and repeat. And I'm like, maybe, I don't know, maybe Cold Stone like sponsored.
They did. They paid a lot of money to be on that red carpet and have a step and repeat.
Yeah, but their step and repeat was different. So this was a totally different step and repeat than the one for the actual Critics' Choice Awards. So this was like off to the side. And so I didn't think anything of it, but then somebody, or then the, here's what the caption says. At the Critics' Choice Awards, there was a Cold Stone Creamery step and repeat that many celebrities posed in front of, and my God, I need answers. Were these poor celebrities forced to do this? Did any of them know what was going on? Were they given any Cold Stone in exchange? The mystery is more confusing than the Cold Stone sizing system, and I have more questions than a birthday cake remix. Okay. Or birthday cake remix has toppings.
Yeah.
So then in the comments, the celebrities jump in and they tell us what happened.
Oh my God.
Do you want to know?
I do.
How did we end up with a Cold Stone step and repeat? Well, Seth Rogen shows up and he says, they asked me to do this. And I was like, bleep, no. Which I loved. He was just like, absolutely not. You are not going to use my likeness for your Cold Stone ads.
Right. I'm not endorsing your product, just covertly.
Then Billy Eichner shows up and goes, they gave me a $100 gift card to Cold Stone.
Oh my God.
So it turns out even Chelsea Handler was like, yeah, in a gown. It was demoralizing. She goes, I was there. And it happened so fast, it was hard to tell what was going on until I saw a picture of myself in front of Cold Stone's creamery. And like, I just love that, like, they pulled a fast one, set up this step and repeat, and we're like, hey, you want $100 in ice cream? And it tells you, like, what kind of celebrity you're dealing with instantly. Like, if they were like, no, I am not standing in front of your cheap spawn con.
Right.
Or, yeah, give me your free gift card, because I would have taken a gift card in a heartbeat.
Oh, my gosh. Me too. But most of these celebrities can buy the franchise. don't need a $100 gift card to Cold Stone.
Exactly. Like the Fonz is standing in front of Cold Stone going, whoa! But I don't know. Maybe he gave the $100 gift card to his grandkids or something.
I don't know. But it's just so absurd.
It's so like brand 2023. Like, this is totally something. In fact, Spindrift. I think it was Spindrift. Or no, it was some other brand popped in and said, let's see. Yeah, Spindrift goes, sending this to my boss for 2024 planning, right? Like, other brands are going to now be jumping in to do things like this.
Well, they really...
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
We need to ask the Critics' Choice Awards people how it came to be that they sold this sponsorship.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like they paid a lot to be there. A lot.
Yes.
To go, this is what we want.
Yeah.
You know, this is just red carpet, probably a production company.
Well, and you know how it is being on red carpets, Dawn. You've been on several red carpets.
I've been on one.
Which one?
The Grammys.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
I was thinking of like our My Talk
Project. No, I was on the red carpet.
What were you on for the red carpet for the Grammys?
Talk about myself again, but listen.
Oh,
so my boyfriend was the vice president of Merv Griffin Entertainment.
Oh my God.
Okay, so he is second from Merv Griffin down, and they produced the red carpet for the Grammys and other events. Like it was in New
York.
When
was this?
At Madison Square Garden. 20 years ago probably. I can't remember
which
one it was.
What happened to that relationship?
It just, listen.
You can't drop things like that into the chat.
I'm sorry.
And not expect people to ask questions.
Well, here's the, his breath was terrible. It was really
bad. I can't with you.
Listen,
you were dating the number two guy at Merv Griffin Productions and you left because he had bad breath?
It was really gross.
Start dating him in the first place?
I did a lot of event production stuff early. Like, that's how I worked with Gatorade and the Sci-Fi Channel and all that stuff I did with Ozfest.
Yeah.
So event promotions, he was somebody within event promotions, a company I worked for in St. Louis. And then he moved on to L.A. and started working for Merv Griffin. Oh. And so he was my boyfriend, but not my boyfriend at the time of this. But he said, hey, I've got this extra ticket. I know you're in media. Do you want to come to the Grammys red carpet? I'm like, sure.
So
I didn't know I was
going to
be. The bad breath happened.
Like, I need to know when you start dating someone. Did you know he had bad breath when you started dating him?
Okay. Well, he's a drinker. Okay. And somebody that's like so vacant when you look at them when they're drinking, it's like you're vacant inside. You are not
so,
with this.
What?
You are so drunk that we're not connecting. Okay. So that's a problem.
Yeah.
And then there were a lot of cigarettes happening.
Did you not date a very long time?
I dated him for a couple of years and then we had a time apart and then I happened to be on a morning show and he was like, do you want to come to this
event? I can't even finish the story.
It's okay. I'm sorry. His breath from the cigarettes and the liquor was too much and I can't kiss someone like that. I had to just say,
it took you 2 years to figure that out?
No, this was after, anyway, there was a period in between where I guess he...
Okay, you need to do dreams when we come back.
That's right. I'm going to interpret your dreams.
I don't know how to end. We're just bye.
Bye.
Hey, my talkers, Bradley here for my good friends at Hero. You know, they've been keeping homes warm and cozy over the last 100 years throughout the Twin Cities. And this time of year, that's super duper important because you want your house to be warm. Now, if you don't have any heat, that's an emergency. Good news, Hero can get your heat back on so that you and your family are safe. But what if you have something else going on that needs your attention? Maybe there's a room in your house that's getting too much heat or not enough heat. In fact, we have that issue on the second story of our home. Figured out a way, thanks to the friends at Hero, so that we could get heat flowing to that room correctly, effectively, balanced. That's exactly where Hero excels. So if you've got any questions, any issues surrounding the heating of your home, now is the time to call my friends at Hero. Or if you have an emergency, always remember, call Hero.com. That red truck will be out, and they'll solve your problem the first time. Call Hero.com today. Don't forget to tell them Bradley sent you.
Hi, Joe Messier.
My Talk 107.1, Everything Hello? Entertainment. Hi, it's the Adventures of Bradley and Dawn.
She's furiously writing.
I'm just trying to focus. I have so many dreams to get to today.
Dreams!
I might not get through all of them. I think Alan wrote me a really long one, and Alan, I'm going to email you back about that, okay? Because it's very layered, and I would like to just take more time with it. So we're going to go through some of these dreams on the Dreamweaver segment.
Why don't you tell me about your dream?
I was back in high school, and I was supposed to take a test.
I was making it work again.
I was driving my car, and I couldn't control it. Then I fell off a cliff with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Do you know what this dream means?
Dreamweaver Dawn. Dreamweaver Dawn.
It's so weird this time because it's just... There are three emails that are about water, and so I want to focus on those.
Okay.
We have...
So, can I just let people know, for those who don't, Dawn does dream interpretation, and so every week listeners send in an email asking about their dreams, and you guys can participate in the fun. She'll tell you at the end, but you got three dreams about water this time?
I did, and dreams that involve, like, sinking ships and, you know, things like that.
Wow, okay.
So I want to address that so I can interpret these.
Sure.
So we have Cassandra, and she said that she always has nightmares. She always has as a kid and an adult, and the theme has usually been a very random mix of apocalypse, weather, disasters. And then lately it's been her childhood home where her mom still lives, and she sees the water rising. At some point they witness the turning point where they can no longer evacuate.
So she's dreaming a lot about disasters near the house.
Yes. Okay. So this is, if it's a weather event and it's flooding, like this is, that is, if it's a weather event where it's like a hurricane and things are just a storm, you're dreaming, Cassandra, about chaos. You're dreaming about chaos that you see coming in your life. And if you are afraid of it, it's like, you know, and you can sense when things are going to go wrong in your life, or a storm is a brewing. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
I have dreams that tornadoes are coming, but I'm excited. So yeah. What does that say about me? I don't know. So anyway, that is what you're dreaming about. You're dreaming about turmoil and inner conflict. And that's a repeated thing because you have turmoil and inner conflict that you don't know how to deal with. And there's a point where you're like, I can't go back to being mentally healthy right now because of this turmoil.
Okay, so that's why it's repeating.
That's right. Okay, so now we're going to talk about, let's see, this is from Chris B. And she dreamed of a dock. There was a lake, and it started to rain. And then they had a boat that was drifting way out into the lake, and it sunk. And she could still see it, but it was underwater. So I'm just going to tackle that part. So water is your conscious life experiences. So if you dream of being on a river and you're in a boat and you're fine, or you're floating on your back and everything's okay, that means that in your conscious waking life, when you're communicating with people or dealing with things, you have an easy way sometimes of navigating through that. So the boat sank, which means something happened in your life the day before where you weren't able to navigate through an experience. Something happened where you weren't able to handle a situation. And that's basically what it is. You felt overwhelmed. But the good thing about it is, Chris, is that you were standing on a dock watching it happen. So let's say, I'm just going to make this up, like there was a fight in your family. You were in the room, but you didn't say anything. You didn't get yourself involved. Like you weren't drowning in it. Okay. Yeah. So the good news is that when you're on the shore, you see the sink,
you're
ship
aware
sinking.
Of it. You're not a part of it.
Yes. So you've been able to remove yourself from that. And that's your soul reflecting to you. This is how you handled that today.
Interesting.
Okay. But it does want to recognize
so
that.
So water again, to remind myself.
Yeah.
Water
conscious life experiences.
Is your conscious life experiences. Okay.
That's right. There was another email about, let's see. There was a mansion. Oh, yes. And there was it looks like it was ice. Okay. People were having fun on a lake, and she had some type of a mansion on the lake. And people cut a big pool size hole in the ice and they were swimming. This is coming from Kalsen or Shelley, maybe. Shelley Kalsen. Shelly, there's scuba divers at one point. You dipped your foot in the blue water and wondered if a shark would bite it. Then there's a variety show inside. So,
wow. So right. A whenever, variety show in a lake?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Inside the mansion.
Oh, in the mansion. Okay.
Yes.
Which is inside of her, probably, because you've told us that when things are inside a building, that's probably
that's your
inside
mind.
Our brain.
That is correct. So, you know, all of this ice stuff in the lake and people having fun on the lake. And there was also a pirate ship boat ride. You have the ability to look at your conscious life experiences and sometimes suspend those in time and just enjoy things because it's ice.
Okay. Oh, interesting.
So she dips her toe in the
water. Water's the conscious mind. Ice is like a freezing of the conscious mind.
Yeah. So you're able to take moments and just like really live in the moment, which is a great thing and fun. But then sometimes you're scared about that because you dipped your toe in the water and you were afraid a shark was going to bite it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So a fish has to do with spirituality and you're a little bit afraid of that. There's something about your spirituality that you're a little afraid of in those moments. So, gosh. Okay. I will email you about the other part of your dream. It's twofold.
Oh, okay.
So, and then the last one here I want to talk about. So we have some time to just to.
If you're just joining us, Dawn is doing dream interpretations.
Yes.
Listeners have written in with emails recollecting or recounting their dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And so far it's very water focused.
It is. Okay. Now this one is coming from Dana V. And in her dream, her son had. He was recovering from back surgery in another room and in her house. And then there were French doors opening up in her house, but it was her ex-husband's home.
Okay.
She went in and she found a bunch of her jewelry was taken. She took it back and put it in her jewelry box. This is a great one because it's short, it's simple.
And, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so
you talk about how important it is to be concise.
Yes. So your son having surgery reflects an idea. So this was a fully formed idea that you had the day before or 48 hours before. And this was like a new path that you had and it was cut short because you need to work on it. Okay. It's not healthy. Your son represents the new idea. Okay, and so since it was cut short, there's some type of an injury to this. And the ex-husband's home, this is an old way of thinking because you used to be in this home. So the home is the mind. And so you're going into this old way of thinking when it relates to this idea. And this is probably why the new idea isn't working. And that is because when it came to creating this new idea, you had moments where you devalued yourself and your strengths.
Mm.
The jewelry is something of value, and yeah. It always comes back to the dreamer. Like, it's a value that you have
that
within yourself. It was
on.
Stolen yeah. Because it's the old way of thinking. You're in the ex-husband's house, and you see the jewelry has been stolen, but the new idea is also injured. So I'm tying that all into saying you had a new idea. It didn't work out exactly the way you wanted. And part of it was because you went into an old way of thinking where you devalued yourself.
Well, and I love this is a great reminder that like the specifics would throw you off where you think, oh, it's about my ex-husband or, oh, it's about this and that.
It's not about other people.
It's not about other people. It's about something internally that your brain is trying to work on, right?
Yes, that is correct. So the dream is always about the dreamer. So,
all right, Dawn, for those who want to get in on the fun, we mm-hmm. do this every Wednesday. You interpret dreams. How can listeners get a hold of you? And what's your best advice for when they contact you?
When you contact me, if you could just make it one paragraph to sum up your dream, and you don't have to tell me what color your pants were in the dream and things like that. You know, you can tell me it's important to tell me about your emotions and how you felt about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was scared when I dipped my toe in the water. That's great. Okay. But then like all the details that are
you don't need to be super specific. Yeah.
Yeah. That's just take the main focus of what the theme of the dream was. Give me some idea of what it was. And then that will help me more. So.
And when you're not wearing pants, what does that mean?
Well, that means, yeah, you want to know? Okay. It means that the day before there was a part where you were very vulnerable and you didn't really feel comfortable with it, especially if it's in a public place, if you don't have pants on.
Yeah.
You, in front of your other parts of yourself, recognized, oh boy, you sure did share a lot, didn't you?
I also love jumping and flying dreams. Those are my favorites.
Well, that's good.
I pray for those.
If you fly and jump in your dreams and you like jump like a bouncing,
yeah,
like, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so.
Because I don't generally fly anymore. I usually fly when I was a kid, but now I'm a bouncer.
It's a really good dream because you are acknowledging that in the dream state, it's reflecting your reality, which means you have a lot of hope and that you can do anything you want to do. You know what I mean? Like,
wow.
You are like, I am limitless. I can freaking fly, you know? So it's like you saw yourself as somebody who could go on and achieve things that seemed impossible. So anytime you're doing that and you can control what you're doing, especially somebody asked me about lucid dreaming as well.
Yeah.
So great to do that. I mean, Einstein got a lot of
You just
got to
practice. Yes. I know from experience for lucid dreaming, you just got to practice.
And what's important about that is that you can manipulate what's happening within the dream, meaning you're lucid, you feel like you're really half awake, and you can change things. And that reflects that you realize that you can change things in your life. If you don't like them, like, let's say somebody is holding a gun up to you.
Boo.
In the dream, you can go, that's actually Cold Stone Creamery you're holding in your hand, not a gun. And then you go, thank you, and you take it from them. That means that you realize you're not going to be a victim of a part of yourself
and you're
that
gonna
wants
get ice
to
cream.
Hurt you.
Thank
and
you.
And you're like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be a victim of myself. I want to eat ice cream.
Well, and thank you, Dawn, for that and for the listeners who got some, you know, enlightenment, especially around all their water dreams. What an odd theme to pop up, or not odd, but just, you know, coincidental that this week you got very similar themes.
Yes.
When we come back, I just want to give props to Christina Applegate because she's an amazing human for a number of reasons, but also in the way that she dealt with this dumb troll that I'll tell you about right here on My Talk 107.1.
My Talk 107.1, everything entertainment. The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn.
Hi.
Hello, it's Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. And it's a hump day. It's really great. And you wanted to talk about Christina Applegate. She had an experience on the show. What?
No. I'm my brain is processing information. Continue. Sorry.
Okay. I thought I said something wrong. Or
No. My brain was interpreting something wrong, and I'll tell you what that was in just a minute, but I'm sorry I interrupted
you. Oh, no, that's
you with
fine.
My face.
So Christina Applegate.
My face interrupted you.
Yeah. No, Christina Applegate was on the red carpet at the Critics' Choice Awards, and if you don't know, Christina Applegate was diagnosed with MS, and here she is finishing up Dead to Me, the final season, which was really difficult for her. Just on a side note, she was not at her best. You know, she's having trouble walking. She's also on medication that changes her body and face, you know, makes people gain weight. My sister has MS, and MS is so mysterious because one person will have 10 symptoms and then another person will have a different 10 symptoms. It's just such a bizarre autoimmune disease, you know, and I really feel for her. She's been open about how she feels about it. And so what has happened?
Okay.
Somebody was trolling her.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about a troll. The reason you saw my face change was because I feel like in the tease, did I say Christina Aguilera? No,
no,
I said Applegate. Okay. Because there was a part of my brain where I was like, I think I might have said Christina Aguilera. Anyway, it is Christina Applegate. And you rightly said she is dealing with MS. But there was a troll that I wanted to talk about. Mostly, here's what I want to do. I wanted to just say nice things about Christina Applegate because A, she's an amazing actress. B, she's going through a really difficult time. And she, despite her MS diagnosis, she was able to complete the series Dead to Me in a way that just gave me mad respect for her and the entire production of Dead to Me. So I just wanted to throw some love her way. But what got me thinking about that was this story that you mentioned about a troll. And her response to this was just delightful. So I don't even want to spend a lot of time, but essentially somebody essentially said to her, that's not her face because of MS. That's her face because of plastic surgery. So this person thought it was appropriate to comment on her face, period. Also, at a time when she's dealing with an MS diagnosis, and to like somehow imply that she looks the way she does because of her own, I don't know what the logic, and I'm not going to try to explain the troll logic, but this was on Twitter, or this was a DM that she got, and she responded by saying, you know, it wasn't nice. What's wrong with people? Also, I laughed. Like, so she was just like, ugh. Like, can you believe how horrible people are also?
Unbelievable. I'm reading what they said.
I know.
MS didn't make you look that way.
Yeah.
A plastic surgeon did. And you are a scammer and not Christina Applegate.
Yeah. So this person, obviously unhinged troll.
Oh,
fine. The way she dealt with him, love it. Also, wanted to take the opportunity to say, we finished Dead to Me finally. Uh-huh. I'd been holding back watching the series. In fact, Jamie would be like, we need to watch the series finale. And I'm like, I don't want to watch the series finale because when it's over,
it's over. Yes, I know.
And it's three seasons. I will say I love a show that knows how to end on the right at the right moment. And three seasons is really short. Now, obviously, I imagine the main reason the show is ending is because of her diagnosis. And it's very visible in the season that she was not able to move the same way, that she was not able to be the same actress that she was in season two, but they dealt with it in such a, like, it wasn't, I don't even know how to describe it. It was just a beautiful way that they allowed her the grace to finish this series.
Yeah.
And also that it wasn't distracting. I mean, it was noticeable, right? Because she didn't move very much.
Right. And I heard there were times where she had to prop herself up against the wall.
Yeah.
And like people had to kind of hold her up behind the scenes.
Yeah. And you can tell, right? Like knowing the story, you can see things probably, right, that you wouldn't have noticed otherwise. I mean, somebody might go, why does she not move a lot? Or there were scenes when you can tell a body double was employed if mm-hmm. The scene required her to like walk away.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say I'm not going to give spoilers, but in the last episode, you see she's moving a lot more. And I was like, I wonder if they filmed that one first because it got progressively worse over the filming of the season, perhaps.
Or
I don't
maybe,
know.
You know, she can have a good day and a bad day.
Yes.
You know, sometimes my sister can't get out of bed.
Yeah.
You know, because she's in so much pain.
Yeah, I can imagine. And like you said, you know, people who suffer from MS, it is not a one size fits all diagnosis. And people experience it in many, many ways. And I've heard so many stories over the years and have some personal experience with that in my family as well. And you can just see that people, there is a whole range of how people deal with this. And I'm sure people assume all sorts of things,
yeah,
rightly and wrongly. But for Christina Applegate, I just love that she had the ability and that the show gave her the respect that she deserved mm-hmm. to finish out that project. And while I didn't want the show to end, I was so happy. I mean, I know, I don't think this was like, you stopped watching Dead
to Me. I did
Today.
In the second season.
What didn't you like about it?
So there's something, I'm just going to try to not spoil anything. A character came back in the second series that I thought wasn't going to come back.
Okay.
Like there was a major reason why that person wouldn't come back. And I was like, didn't you go away? And so that sort of plot device kind of made me go, ugh. And then I felt like it was so over the top. They're acting like Linda Cardellini.
Yeah.
Is that her name?
I love Linda. You didn't like her.
I did like her in the first season.
Okay.
But then it's almost like they got so much praise for being so whatever it was that they were doing, sort of manic and out of control, that it was so heightened in her performance. I was like, oh my gosh, now you're doing too much of that thing that people liked.
So it was distracting.
And you're aware of yourself.
Oh.
Like you're watching yourself and purposely doing more of that thing. And I was like, ugh, I don't want to watch it.
Oh,
but I might finish it now, just knowing
Oh, no, you don't have to fit. I mean, like, I will say, like, if it's not your cup of tea, that's fine. I totally get it. For me, the thing that I loved about this show, first of all, dark comedy, mm-hmm. like the humor. It was, you know, it takes these horrible, horrible things. And these people do horrible. Like, again, it takes the horrible and creates humor out of it. But at the essence of the show, Dead to Me, it was about friendship and friendship, despite family, friendship, despite adversity. And these two women, it was kind of like a Thelma and Louise experience. Sure. That they get to the end of this ride and, you know, there's nothing more important than that friendship and love. And despite all of the craziness around them, they were able to experience it and also to just be ridiculously inappropriate and like funny along the way.
Yeah.
Was delightful. So I just wanted to give props to that. And also just for her being able to get the acknowledgement and the respect at this time in her life. And I don't know what the future holds for her in terms of her acting career.
Right.
And again, MS is not a one size fits all diagnosis. So who knows what she will be capable of in the future, but kudos, mad props Absolutely. To Christina Applegate. And the whole show, Dead to Me, by the way, 3 seasons, it's on Netflix.
And I might like go back and just, you know, give it a second shot because I really love the first season. I love the topic. I loved what happened and how the friendship formed was very, very weird. It's like, oh, no, she doesn't know this thing, you know,
yeah.
about her friend.
Yeah, again, totally. Like the whole time you're like, I can't believe I'm watching a show where people did these horrible, horrible things.
Uh-huh.
But again, it's not real.
Right. It's not real. Yeah. And it's always in some sort of way that's like it was an accident, you know,
yeah.
and not intentional. So, yeah.
Just kudos. Big hug to Christina Applegate. Now, when we come back, I want to set this up and give people a question to think about. So is there somebody you were obsessed with on the internet, whether it's YouTube, TikTok, it's a food blogger, whatever, a food fluencer? Is there someone you're obsessed with following whose recipes you love or you just like to watch them making food videos? We're talking about food fluencers when we return. It's a little segment we like to call Boobs on Tubes, things that we like to watch on YouTube and social media. Tell us what your and who your favorite food influencers are by giving us a jingle at 651-641-1071 Food.